favorite passages of Scripture. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29. And I've been thinking about that this week, and I realize I know I've preached from that passage before. And so I started searching through all of my files because I figured out that I've been preaching here for over 19 years. If you take out vacation weeks and mission Sunday weeks, I've preached around 900 sermons, which means that a few of you have had to listen to all 900 of those sermons. And sure enough, I found back in, actually, in 2002, I preached a message on hope for the future from Jeremiah chapter 29. And I was thinking, well, sure, in the early days of COVID, I had to have preached a sermon from this, but I could not find it anywhere. And now, you know, I'm using the excuse of my COVID brain or COVID fog or whatever because I can't remember. So if you remember, you're in a small minority of people who remember what they heard more than 72 hours after they heard it. That's a depressing statistic for preachers and for pastors that we don't retain a lot of what we hear. But I want to take us to this passage today. You can turn there if you like in your Bible apps or in your Bible. I won't be reading that passage for a few minutes, but I'm just thinking about the time in which we live and just realizing, as you probably are and have realized, is that life can leave us weary. Life can leave us weary. And I can't help but thinking over and over again about, you know, people who, particularly in their jobs and in their vocations, serve others and how that can wear you down. And at the beginning of the whole pandemic, I remember how they used to do parades outside of hospitals and nursing homes, and we used to celebrate the people who are doing that. Now, 2 years later, they're still doing it. They're probably more tired than they were 2 years ago, but we don't make so much of a big deal about it, and there are people, especially those working in hospitals and nursing homes and clinics, who are serving day in and day out, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of them are worn out and weary. A lot of them have left their vocation as a nurse or a technician or whatever. The same thing's happening in schools. Kids wear masks all day long. I mean, that may be changing at some point in time. Teachers have to deal with, are we going to be in person or are we going to be virtual? I mean, and having our own adult kids who are involved in education, it's been a really, really stressful, hard, 2 years for people who are teaching. And just in our own lives, with the adjustments and the changes that we've had to make, I mean, the reality is life in general without COVID can be challenging and difficult and can leave us weary. We're encouraged in God's word to hold on to his promises. I love Galatians 6, verse 9. It tells us, let's not become weary in doing good. For in a proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So this morning, for a little bit, we're going to take a glimpse into the prophet Jeremiah's life. And we're going to look at this passage of scripture, part of which is very familiar to you. Jeremiah was a prophet for 40 years in the history of Israel, leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem and then beyond that. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. The message that he had to give the people was not popular. He was not popular. You know, he didn't command a big congregation. People didn't want to listen to what Jeremiah had to say, but they didn't have a choice because he had to say it. And he had to say it to the leaders of Israel. And he had a really tough job. Jeremiah the prophet lived in a time of great turmoil, greater turmoil than what we face today. The world power of Assyria, previously, years before, had conquered the 10 northern tribes of Israel and assimilated them, but that empire began to crumble. And Judah to the south, the southern kingdom of Israel, which was made up of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, they had turned away from God, and they had become corrupt, they had become immoral, they had become idolatrous. This was about 600 years before the time of Christ. to the people of Judah for 23 years, from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid any attention. So here was a nation being warned of impending disaster, being called back to repentance, being called to turn back to God. And yet for 23 years, Jeremiah was warning them, and he appealed to them in vain to turn back to God, and they didn't. And so Judah, at that point in time, was caught in a crossfire between two world powers, Babylon to the north and Egypt to the south. And I couldn't help but think when I was reading over this just this morning, sounds like Ukraine, caught in between world powers. And Judah was caught in between the world powers of Egypt and Babylon, two greatest empires of that day or that time in history. And so here was Jeremiah, who was really was a solitary figure, who was his job, his mission was to foretell God's judgment on Judah. And over again, he grieved over their refusal to listen. He grieved because they would not hear God's word. What happened in that conflict between Babylon and Egypt is that Babylon emerged supreme. And in 587, they invaded Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. They basically destroyed the temple. They took all of the artifacts and all of the gold and all of the precious things out of the temple. They tore down the walls of Jerusalem. And one of the things that they did, which was common in that day and age, was they took people captive. They took them into exile. Now, you know, it didn't, and this is a sad thing, I suppose, it didn't take old people, and they didn't take the weak people, and they didn't take the people who didn't have many talents. They took the cream of the crop, the best young men, the best young women. They took them into captivity and exile because they wanted them to serve them as a nation. So 587 BC, under a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, Jerusalem was destroyed. The people were taken captive. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, what we find is a record of a letter that he sent to the exiles in Babylon. So the people from Judah that have been taken away in captivity are already in Babylon. Babylon in modern-day Iraq, if you want to have the geographical idea in your mind. And what he was saying in this passage in Jeremiah chapter 29, what he was saying was that in spite of difficult times, make the most of today. Seek God with all your heart, because there is bright hope for the future. And so I want to read that passage, Jeremiah 29, beginning in the first verse. So this is the context of what he is going to say to the people. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders or leaders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen, the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and so then to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. And so this is what the letter said. And this is to be read and shared with all the people. They've been taken from their homeland. They're in exile in a foreign country. And this is what Jeremiah writes. And this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace says, do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. And what he's referring to there was all these other prophets were saying, no, God's not, we're going to get out of Babylon. God's not going to keep us here. Everything's going to be fine. And Jeremiah is saying, don't listen to them. Verse 10, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise. 70 years. Some of them wouldn't live past that 70-year mark. I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future. When I read that, I think, wow, this is an amazing message of encouragement that God gives to people who were suffering under his judgment. You know, it's because of their sinfulness and their evil that they were carried away into captivity. And there's this amazing message of encouragement that he gave to people, and these people, honestly, they were dealing with the most difficult time in their lives. They had lost everything. They had lost their homes. They had lost their position. They had lost their wealth. They had lost their flocks. They lost everything. And then imagine being taken. I mean, let's just say another country came and overran the United States, and the soldiers show up at your door, and you can only take the clothes on your back, and they're putting you on a plane, and they're sending you across to another country so you can be the slave of the people in that country. I mean, that's hard for us to even fathom, but that's the reality of what was happening. They were taken from their home in Jerusalem. They were taken to a strange place in battle. Honestly, they were held against their will. They didn't have a choice. They couldn't go back to their home. And without a doubt, they were in really, really bad circumstances. And then the reality hits that Jeremiah is basically saying to them, hey, this is not going to be a short-term thing. You're in this for a long haul. It's going to be 70 years. Now, honestly, if I were God, my message would have been different. And that's why I'm not God. God's message could have been, you deserve this. Tough luck. You're getting what you deserved. I tried to warn you. I sent the prophet 23 years. He kept warning you. You guys wouldn't listen, so tough. You brought this on yourself. And what I am amazed with today, it's an example to me of God's constant grace and mercy to us. Instead, God's message was quite different to the people. It was almost radical. Because God's message is a prescription of hope in this passage. And in the opening verses that we read of Jeremiah chapter 29, it kind of gives the context for this letter and even names some of the people and the type of people who had been carried away to exile in Babylon. And then Jeremiah sends this letter. And I think there's three things that I want us to see out of this letter. And the first one is this: make the most of today. When you look at verses 4 through 9, I think so often when we look at whether it's the political things that are going on in our country or the economic things, we feel sometimes like it's our right and our duty to complain, to what are we going to do to fix this problem? How do we elect a new president? How do we do this? How do we do that? We want to try to fix it all. And Jeremiah, in his letter to these captives that were in exile, doesn't say anything about a revolution. He doesn't say anything about trying to overthrow the government. He doesn't say anything about praying that Nebuchadnezzar will get hit by a stroke or a heart attack and die, and that somebody will come and overthrow him. He doesn't say any of those kind of things. Essentially, what he's saying when you read that fourth through the ninth verses is, okay, you're in this situation. It's not good. You certainly did not choose it. And that's the consequences of your bad choices not to serve and love the Lord. But you're here. It's difficult. It's painful. You miss your homeland. You can put all kinds of stuff in there. But what God is saying is make the most of today. Through Jeremiah, God is saying to these people, Especially when I got this all, I grew up hearing Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and future. I bet, you know, that since I was a teenager, that verse was kind of embedded in there. And so, yeah, that's awesome what God wants to do. But I missed for years what was being said before that. Build houses and settle down. Sounds like an ordinary thing, doesn't it? Plant gardens and provide for yourselves. Get married, have kids, have grandkids, increase and prosper. You know, so think about this. They're in probably the worst situation they could ever imagine. They'd lost their homeland, they'd lost everything they had. They'd been taken almost as slaves or servants to Babylon. And what God is saying to them through the prophet Jeremiah, you make the most of this situation, you make the most of today. Not only that, he takes it a step further. Pray for the city, which is not your home. What's he saying? Pray for your enemies. Who else told us to do that? Jesus. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you. And I think what Jeremiah was saying was, hey, get on with your life. Get on with the business of living. Don't put your life on hold waiting for better days. And I think, okay, I mean, I'll be honest with myself, and maybe you felt this way. I mean, you know, the last 2 years, it's like we keep waiting for things to get back to normal. We keep waiting for things to get back to normal. We keep waiting for better days. And how many days and how many opportunities and how many friendships and how many ways that we could serve and love others have we missed? Because we're waiting for that time. Well, I hate to be bearers of bad news, but, you know, at some point in time, COVID will be over. But there'll be something else. There may be war with Russia and Ukraine, and we're stuck in the middle of it. We don't know what happens in a day, so we make the most of the days that God has given us. And so when Jeremiah talks about this hope, you know, I've given you hope for the future. You know, it's not just talking about us sitting around and waiting. We're not just waiting for pie in the sky. We're not just waiting for Jesus to come back and call us home. What Jeremiah is saying is we're to make the most of our days. And I think that hope is the confidence to live today knowing what God holds tomorrow. Hope is not just looking ahead to pie in the sky. Hope is the confidence to live today, knowing that God holds tomorrow. So the truth is, we all, whether we're in COVID or not, before COVID, after COVID, we all have gone through or will go through times of trial and hardship in our lives. There are times when we have to deal with adversity and problems. A bit about Barb and her family and the adversity that they've been going through and are going through. And I can't imagine the heaviness and the heartbreak of that. There are difficult times that come along our life journey. There may be times when nothing seems to be working out in our lives. So how do we deal with those kinds of things when they come? Well, I think the two most common temptations when life is hard are to ignore the present reality by either looking back longingly at the past or dreaming wishfully of better days ahead. We all do that. We long for the past. One thing is we have selective memory, don't we? Talk about the good old days. I know I've told you this story before, that a gentleman in my church in Pennsylvania was always complaining. But his peers, who were also about 7 years old, complained. And he would talk about the good old days and the good old days, and that was so wonderful back then. Can we go back to the good old days? And one of the other gentlemen in the church said, yeah, let's go back to the good old days when we didn't have indoor plumbing and we had to use an outhouse and et cetera, et cetera. So sometimes we have a way of having a selective memory and we look back at the good old days and we maybe forget that those days there also was pain. Or we dream of better days ahead. You know, see this passage just in verse 10 and 11, and that simply is to believe that God is working for your ultimate good. This is what the Lord says: 70 years are complete in Babylon. I'm going to come to you, I'll fulfill my promises, I'll bring you back to Jerusalem. For I know the plan I have for you, because the Lord plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Now that promise was given collectively to that group of people who were there in Babylon. Believe that God is working for your ultimate good. There's a lot of promises in Scripture. God will ultimately fulfill His promises to us. He will restore us when we are broken and when we are hurting. He has plans for our lives, and He knows what's going on in our life today. And ultimately, God's plans are always good. God doesn't intend to harm us. God plans to give us hope, and the future is bright with God. The best is yet to come. I know this past, the first summer of COVID, there were two passages of Scripture that I shared with you, and I'm not going to belabor the point, but you can jot them down or read them again. I think they're really fitting. Romans 8, verse 18 to 28. And part of that is where Paul is writing, and he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And he talks about the hope that we have, and he talks about the Spirit helps us in our praying when we don't know how to pray. And then it gets down at the end of that passage, and we know it very well. Romans 8, 28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So that promise is given in the context of suffering. I think that's what we kind of hold on to one verse, and that becomes a verse. Yeah, God's not going to let anything bad happen to me, you know, in all things. But as I say, God's going to make everything good in your life. It says, in everything, in all things. That's both good and bad. God works for our good. He works for the good of those who love Him. And then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we've talked about this before in verses 17 and 18, where Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So what if, as you face tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after, what if you just hold on to this truth that God is working for your ultimate good? Even in the context of suffering, we need an eternal perspective because God is working for our good. And the fourth thing that I see in this passage in Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah 29 and verses 12 through 14, we have a responsibility. God makes these promises, but we have a responsibility. Verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found with you, and I'll bring you back from captivity. I'll bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. We can take that one verse and say, yeah, God has great plans for me. He has plans for our future. I have hope in that. Don't we forget that we have a responsibility to seek God. We have this idea that, God, you just need to bless me and do all these good things for me, and I'll just sit back with my arms wide open and wait for that truckload of blessings to be poured in my lap. But God's saying to the people of Israel, find me when you seek me with all your heart. I think my tendency in the midst of trials or difficulty is to turn our focus inward on ourselves. was these things you need to do to take care of yourself. Here was these yoga exercises you should do to take care of yourself. Here was this program that you should follow to take care of yourself. And we as human beings get preoccupied with our own problems and our own struggles and our own needs. And we tend to mark time and measure life by what's happening to us. And God redirects our focus, doesn't he? He says, call on me. And I will listen. He says, come to me. He says, pray to me. He says, seek me with all of your heart, and I will be found. It's like we want God to bless us, and we want God to provide for us, and we want him to listen to us, and we want him to be close to us. But do we call on him? Do we come to him? Do we really pray to him? Do we really seek him with all of our heart? Or do we just try to, yep, we've got to do these things, make our life better? The whole kind of self-help philosophy of the culture in which we live in today. And yet God is calling the people of Israel to seek him with all of their heart. Put their heart into everything that they do. To pursue God with everything that they have, with their whole being. And like the passage in 2 Corinthians, to focus on God instead of our present problems or our uncertain future. What would happen if we just put all these things out of our mind and we spent time focusing on God, what he wants from us, and we call on him in prayer with the assurance that he will listen, that we seek him, knowing that when we seek him with all of our heart, we find him, we pray to him, knowing that he is the one who hears our prayers. So the challenge for me and the challenge for you as we live these days is to put our heart into all that we do and to pursue God with everything we have. And that we need to focus on God instead of our present problems or uncertain future. And that's our tendency, isn't it? We tend to take our focus and move it one direction or another. We take our focus and we look back. We look back and we long for yesterday, even though we can't turn the clock back. We put our focus toward the future. So, well, I'm waiting for Jesus to come back, and then we are. But we put our focus on the future. Well, maybe there's going to be better tomorrow, or maybe the stock market will probably go back up tomorrow. Maybe COVID will be over tomorrow. We can't just look back at yesterday. We can't just sit around and wait for a better tomorrow. The message of Jeremiah to the people of Israel in Babylon in captivity is a message for us today. Seek God with all your heart. Trust his plans and make the best of today. I love Romans 13, verse 15. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace that you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You take a moment and bow your heads and close your eyes, and I just want to give you an opportunity to process some of what God may be saying to you. And if there are some things that you need to let go of that you're holding on to, that you're struggling with, this is a great time to do that. Even if that by a physical act, you want to just hold out your hands in your lap before God and say, God, I'm releasing all of these things, and I'm holding on to the hope that you are working for my good. And I want to seek you with all of my heart, and I want to live for you, and I want to love you, and I want the focus of my life to be off of me and onto you. And maybe there are some things that you need to give over to God, that you need to ask for his strength and for his help. And then as you look at the See that you are calling us to love you, to seek you, to follow you.